It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Once a week on this show, we get the opportunity to talk with Mike Florio, and it's fantastic because he gives you everything you need to know from the world of the NFL. He joins us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download Circus Sports app today. It's the Bernstein and Holmes Show. Lawrence and Layla here with you until 2 o'clock as Mike Florio joins us. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Listen, I would like very much for Hassan Reddick to be opposite Montez Sweat. Is there any possibility that the Jets will trade him no matter what they say?
Well, we can't rule it out because how many times have we seen a team say one thing and do another? And if nothing else, the statement that the Jets issued to the world on Monday that they won't be trading Hassan Reddick guaranteed that they would be getting phone calls from any team that might be interested in Hassan Reddick. That's how it goes. I remember in 2013 when Vikings GM at the time, Rick Spielman, came out and said, we have no intent to trade Percy Harvin. He was literally traded the next day to the Seattle Seahawks. So statements like that have a way of getting teams who are interested to make the phone call because GMs and front office people talk all the time and there's no harm. And you're not going to offend Joe Douglas if you call up and say, hey, you know, I know what you said, but is there a deal to be done here to get Hassan Reddick out of your hair and into our lap if you can work out a deal? I think the one thing we've learned from this, never trade for a player who wants a new contract without working out the contract on the way through the door.
Yeah, I think Montez Sweat is an excellent example of that in a good way. But when it comes to what we're seeing with the Jets, chaos is not exactly new hat for them. This is very old hat. So do you think this even phases them when it comes to how they address it and what happens from here?
But you do kind of get used to chaos after a while. And I will say when people complain about distractions in football, nothing's more distracting than lining up and having a guy across from you trying to do the exact opposite of what you're doing. That's an inherent distraction. So sometimes distractions get overrated. But with the Jets, it's dysfunction. And I think dysfunction in any organization begins at the top. And ever since Woody Johnson's really owned the Jets, they haven't been high-end contenders, and it just feels like there's always something that goes haywire. They badly misplayed this. They shouldn't have traded for Hassan Reddick without getting a deal done at the time they traded with the Eagles to bring him in. They need to find a way out of this that saves face for him. There's a deal to be done where he really doesn't get anything, but he's at least able to say he got something. There's some way to break this impasse. They haven't been able to do it, and if all else fails, yeah, trade him, and maybe they will. Maybe the clouds will part at some point, but they just never should have started down this path. And I'm sure they would admit that if they knew back in March when they did this deal what they know now, they never would have done it.
With Brandon Ayuk, are we going to do all of this for him to just stay a 49er?
Sometimes, and there's a saying, and I can't remember it exactly, but it's basically, wisdom often never comes at all. We shouldn't complain when it shows up late. And for the 49ers, it's almost like they had to go through this process of realizing before the draft, there were five teams willing to pay Brandon Ayuk what the 49ers wouldn't pay. And they refused to do a deal then. Now, Ayuk, before the start of camp, asks to be traded. They give him permission to seek a trade, which means permission to find out what teams will pay now. Multiple teams willing to pay him what he wants, and the 49ers still aren't. And now you get to the brink of doing the deal, and you realize We're not going to backfill with another Brandon Ayuk. We're going to make our team worse. We're trying to finally get to a Super Bowl and win it for the first time in over 30 years. Let's just pay the guy what he wants. If other teams are willing to pay him what we want, maybe we're wrong and they're right. Maybe we should just pay him. Even if, and I think at the heart of this, you know, it's, and I'm trying to think of a good example here. Basically, if you're going to go buy a Ferrari, you don't get a discount on it because you're not going to drive it all the time. And I think the 49ers want a discount because they don't use Brandon Ayuk the way that they could. That's not on him. That's on them. Once you sign the contract, use him as much as you want. So I think they've been trying to hold him down. Like, hey, you're not the number one. Well, but I should be a number one. You need to pay me like a number one, and other teams will, and maybe you should. And I feel like they're finally waking up to that. So it's, in hindsight, probably predictable, but I feel like you have to go through this process if you're the 49ers to get to the point where you feel good about what it feels like they might be doing.
I also don't mind the reported approach that the Steelers are taking with a guy like Ayuk, or perhaps what we've seen out of like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, for example, where they're open to people wanting a change of scenery if it means that their team gets better and the player is happier.
Well, and if you can get the player on terms that are very favorable to you, whether it's the contract or the trade, in this case, it's both. And that's one of the reasons this hasn't been done. The Steelers offering less than other teams were offering to the 49ers. The Steelers offering less than other teams were offering to Ayuk, but that's where Ayuk wants to be. And the Mike Tomlin phrase that we hear at some point inevitably every season, we want volunteers, not hostages. He's really testing that here, because if they're going to lowball the 49ers and lowball Ayuk, and Ayuk can set this up where he basically can call his shot and pick his destination, and he's going to choose to go to a team that isn't offering as much as others, then maybe the Steelers win. But that could be the catalyst here, because the 49ers are like, well, if this is all it takes, if this is, we'll just give you that and you can stay here. So it feels like that's kind of where it is right now. And it would be something if at the end of the day, it was a whole lot of nothing, but it still needed to be done to get to that point.
But I like the entire approach, because in a league that doesn't make good hiring decisions en masse, and you have to find the bright spots where you can and the lightning in a bottle where you can, to have their coach become a selling point as a destination in Mike Tomlin, I think it's a very savvy move. I feel like that could start a very positive trend in the league when you see results that might work in everyone's favor.
Anything that makes a difference when it comes to recruiting players is a bonus. All things are otherwise equal under the salary cap. You want to be the team that can lure a guy for less, not a team that has to pay more because you got horrible marks on the NFLPA report card, or they treated this guy this way or that guy that way. I think that's an important thing that can make a difference. And really, that's how you game this system in your favor. The salary cap is what it is. The spending limits are the same for everyone. If you have factors that can get players to play for you for less than what they'll play for someone else for, you end up putting yourself in a position where, in theory, you should have a better team.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A lot of people here in the Chicagoland area care about J.J. McCarthy, the Nazareth product out of LaGrange Park, not far from where our studios are. What's the latest on his knee injury?
Well, apparently what they're going to do is perform the meniscus repair, and they'll find out at the time whether it needs to be trimmed, which is a short-term injury, or repaired, which is a long-term injury, because they actually go in and stitch it back together. And the difference is, when you trim it, you take out meniscus, which doesn't grow back, and you only have so much of that cushioning in your knee. And once it's gone, it's gone. So I just have had a feeling, since this all first came up, he's probably going to end up getting the repair. He's probably going to be done for the year. He'll be good as new next year. And then what it does is it kind of clears the deck of this question of, when are we going to see J.J. McCarthy? Sam Darnold, who's been on some bad teams with not great supporting cast, not great coaching, not great front offices, not great ownership, steps into a spot where Kevin O'Connell knows how to scheme guys wide open. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got a good offensive line. Aaron Jones has gas in the tank. And Sam Darnold, 7 years ago, going into college football season, when he was at USC, he was the consensus number one overall pick. He ended up going third, and he's never really been in a great spot where he could flourish. So McCarthy may have everything delayed for a year, and this will give Sam Darnold the best chance he's ever going to have to prove that he can play quarterback at a high level in the NFL.
I find it very interesting about Darnold just in general, because there is a sympathy that is held for him that I don't think a lot of other players in his position get from the league. Why do you think that is?
Well, because I think people understand that the Jets have ruined a lot of quarterbacks. They've ruined Mark Sanchez to a certain extent. Christian Hackenberg, would he have ever been anything with any other team? Zach Wilson, you know, would they have ruined Patrick Mahomes if he had landed in New York? I just think one of the things that gets overlooked when quarterbacks bust, we just assume it was them. There's a chance it was their circumstance. I think back to 1999. If Andy Reid had drafted Akili Smith and if the Bengals had drafted Donovan McNabb, would Akili Smith have been a guy who was a perennial NFC finalist, a guy who was a team Hall of Famer and maybe a arguable, at least in the conversation, for Pro Football Hall of Famer? And would McNabb have washed out of the NFL? Look what happened to McNabb after he was gone from Andy Reid. He was done. It was over. So I just feel like that first stop is so important in how we perceive a player, how he perceives himself, what confidence he has, and whether or not he ends up being successful. And you don't have many chances. You got 16, 17 games, 1 year, 2 years, and by year three, it's basically up or out. So, you know, look at what happened with Geno Smith, another guy who was wrecked by the Jets, and what's going on now. After 10 years in the wilderness, he's the starting quarterback of the Seahawks.
Mike, I wanted to follow up on the Vikings for a second. I really, from what I've seen, and it's just been snippets here or looking at the receiver documentary and the quarterback documentary, I think Kevin O'Connell's got it. And I know that the quarterback position for him has maybe delayed proving that he's got it. I'd love to know what you think about him and what the league says about him.
I think he's very well respected as one of the best young play callers in the NFL who can take a defense, see what they do, look at the rules of that approach that he'll be attacking, and find the openings and put players there and coach up the quarterbacks to go through the progressions, do what he tells them to do. It's a lot like Kyle Shanahan. Run the play the way I expect you to run it, and it will work. And we saw him last year on the fly making chicken salad after Kirk Cousins got injured. Who's out there? Well, trade for Josh Dobbs, and they made Josh Dobbs into something until that chariot turned into a pumpkin. And then Nick Mullins, 400 passing yards. Now, too many turnovers, but he's shown, O'Connell has, that he can take a guy and get the most out of him. And Darnold is better than any of the guys that he had last year once Kirk Cousins was injured. So this won't necessarily be a disaster if McCarthy can't play this year. And the Vikings benefit from one of the things that I think organically is good for an NFL team: no expectations. When you have no expectations, your players don't get a big head, and you can go into the locker room and you can legitimately and authentically say no one believes in us, and that can be very powerful. And you look at the division, people are going to have them fourth. The Packers have buzz. The Lions have buzz. The Bears have buzz, and the Vikings are just kind of there. And hey, with O'Connell, that could end up helping lay the foundation for a team that can surprise some people.
Yeah, with O'Connell and Justin Jefferson, that's the part of this that always blows my mind, is I'm waiting for the right way for him to be used where he day-to-day is doing exactly what I think he's capable of in the NFL. Like, that's always what gets me. And when you consider this, Mike, this is a strong division. We have not said that in many years. How do you rank the division versus the rest of the NFC?
Well, it's clearly the best division, top to bottom, in the entire NFC. Sims and I today on PFT Live were trying to peg the Super Bowl-ready teams in the NFC. You've got the Eagles, you've got the 49ers, you've got the Lions. And then on the fringes, you've got the Buccaneers and the Rams. And the Packers, too, is a Super Bowl-ready team. But the Bears, are on the fringe, potentially. Who knows? It's arrow pointing up, but let's see how it goes. And the Vikings have shown they can be a problem. They can be a team. And this is their story, really, for the last 50 years. They're always kind of in the conversation. Some years they get to the playoffs. Some years they don't. Now, lately, it's not easy for them to get past the divisional round. And when they do, they lose. But yeah, all four teams, top to bottom, I think the best in the conference. And with three wildcard spots, one of these years, it's unlikely, but mathematically speaking, one of these years, you're going to have all four teams from a division make the playoffs. You're going to have the 5 seed, 6 seed, and 7 seed being the second, third, and fourth place teams from the same division. It feels like it's going to happen. It won't be easy. And I'm not saying it's going to happen this year, but I won't fall over from amazement if that would happen for the Vikings, the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers in 2024.
Mike, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for everything you do for our show. We love ProFootballTalk.com and all the work you're doing for NBC.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, Mike.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.